Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Hetland here one more time with this week's edition of the Rodeo Roundup Unplugged, brought to you live by our good friends Bloomer Trailers and Farm Boy Farm Girl. This week's guest, a very special guest, and a name that is cemented within the history books of the PBR and the PRCA, is one of the top cowboy protectors and freestyle bullfighters in the business and in the history, Mr. Rob Smets. Rob, thank you so much. What an honor it is to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for all the kind words. How's everything going today?
Man, it is fantastic. I've been in a radio career many, many years and started this website, and your name is one of the top names that has come up that my followers and my fans would like to hear from, and I'm just excited because I grew up bullfighting at a young age, and you were one of my icons that I looked up to, and I still do to this day. So this is very exciting, not only for our listeners, but for me as well. So.
Well, I appreciate it. It's going to be a good day, and glad I got the opportunity to come share with y'all.
Man, outstanding. You know, we talk about the work and the dedication it takes to get to where you have ended up in your career, but you started out, you know, not really at a young age, but you really got started in rodeo right about middle of your high school year. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, my dad, we lived overseas a bunch when I was a kid. My dad did heavy construction work, and I lived in Thailand and Australia and Singapore, Puerto Rico. Australia is where I first got my first couple calves. And, it's been like seventh, eighth grade, you know, my calves and steers, and then came home and started competing in junior rodeos out in California, and used to go to like the Hayward Junior Rodeo, Red Bluff Junior Rodeo, Clovis Junior Rodeo, Oakdale, California. You know, I went to all of those rodeos. Fortunately, after I graduated from high school, I was blessed to get to work, you know, the part of the California Six Pack, and of course, the Salinas Rodeo, and just a lot of good rodeos out there on the West Coast to get in on and get started with.
You know, and like you said, a lot of great rodeos. The Salinas and all those rodeos out on the West Coast are very highly regarded, not only within the PBR, but the PRCA as well.
And they are. You know, the PBR has a really good event at Salinas, and they have a few other events out there, St. Paul, Oregon. But as far as the PRCA rodeos, when I was very well established, you know, my summer run, I would start out at Santa Maria, California, and go Santa Maria. And for years, I worked Livermore, and then I transferred on up and went to Sisters, Oregon, and would go Santa Maria, Sisters, Roseburg, Reno, St. Paul, Vernal, Utah. It was a really good run of rodeos. End up, go to Joseph, Oregon, and then go to Longview, Washington, and just all up in the Northwest. There's a heck of a run of rodeos up there, and it's a good time of year to be in the Northwest.
You know, sure, it's beautiful country up there. I grew up actually out in Washington State, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
So, you know, and we talk about you coming up through the high school ranks. Talk to us a little bit about after high school got done, you got your PRCA card, you're getting established, the PBR calls, and just what was it like growing up in the old school version of professional rodeo and bullfighting all the way up through? I mean, you were right there just about when the PBR was getting established and everything else. Talk to us about what that meant.
Well, I graduated high school. I went to rodeo, and I worked for Bob Cook, RSC Rodeo Company, and then went to worked a bunch of Cotton's rodeos. Jim Shoulders brought me back to the South back in 1979, and so when the PBR started, by the time the PBR started, I'd already been fighting bulls 15 years. And Jimmy Anderson and myself and Joe Baumgartner and Lloyd Ketchum were pretty much the first four guys who got used a lot. Roach worked some also. You know, my feelings are that group of bull riders in the late 80s, early 90s, all the way up into the 2000s was probably the greatest group of bull riders that I've ever been around. You know, I've been blessed to have been from when Donnie Gay was toward the end of his career all the way to, you know, saw Silvano. As I was going out, Silvano was kind of coming in. So I've been around the greatest bull riders in the world for a long, long time. and was very blessed to have been chosen by him to be one of the Cowboy bodyguards for him. So, you know, he's got the best seat in the house around the best bull riders in the country with the best bulls that there is. You know, it doesn't get any better than that.
It sure doesn't. You talk about the best bulls in the business, but lately, over the last 5 years or so, you know, the whole aspect and dynamic of the PBR has kind of taken a little bit of a change where, yes, the Cowboys still have their loyal fan base, but the Bulls are having quite the loyal fan base. Yes, honestly, yeah, there was Bodacious and all those other great Bulls back when, but you've never really had to talk about the fan base for the Bulls themselves, and Bushwhacker has kind of got that legendary status that Bodacious did for obviously other reasons, but what a fantastic set of Bulls that these guys have right now in the PBR as well.
Well, there's no doubt that the breeding programs have very well established the Bulls that the PBR has. But I'm not going to say that the bulls that are out there right now are any greater than the bulls like Pacific Bell, Red Rock, Oscar, Red Lightning, some of the older bulls. I just think that there's a lot more bulls of the 18 caliber than what there was back in the day. But I'm not going to say, you know, there were a lot of bulls back in the day, Dillinger and that group of bulls that could stand in the same pen with the bulls that are out there right now.
You know, absolutely. When we talk about that, we talk about the brand of honor and Dillinger getting inducted just a couple of years ago to Heroes and Legends. Well, that's got to be just something special to be able to see the bulls that you got the chance to be able to participate with in CF and Cloth starting getting the honors and the respects that they deserve now.
You know, one of my favorite bulls would have been Little Yellow Jacket. And it was always great to see the trip after he had been ridden. That bull was such a competitor because he would buck, and I was there. I watched Wiley Peterson ride him. I've seen Shivers ride him. I've seen Michael Gaffney ride him. All those guys, Wiley Peterson. The trip after they rode him, he would come back with a vengeance. That bull would really come back and buck. That bull was a competitor. And probably one of my strongest memories of the PBR would have been the week that we were in Colorado on the $1 million match week when it was Chris Shivers and Little Yellow Jacket. And all week long, we were getting up at 5 in the morning and hitting the TV and the radio shows promoting that event. Even on the day that Chris was going to match Little Yellow Jacket, he was up at 5 in the morning on TV promoting the event that he was going to compete in later that day. Now, there's no other sport that you would have seen the competitor that was competing up promoting himself in that competition at 5 in the morning.
Absolutely, yeah. You know,
and Chris got on, I'm sorry, but Chris got on later that day. Unfortunately, it didn't work. I remember Chris leaned up, kind of squatted down at the fence there, really disappointed that if $1 million had got away. And I can remember walking over and sticking my hand out saying, "Come on, get up, champ. We'll get another shot at it." You know, and then Chris had to walk in and do the interviews, and the class act that he was tipped his hat to Little Yellow Jacket, and it was awesome. You know, he handled himself with so much professionalism. Anybody that was a sponsor of Chris Shivers or anybody that wasn't a fan had to instantly become one, because it's easy to walk in and keep a smile on your face when everything's worked right. But to be able to walk in there with the class that he had and give kudos to the great champion bull that bucked him off and cost him $1 million, Chris Shivers was a class act on that day.
You know, absolutely, and he still is today. You know, even with everybody saw his last ride at the PBR World Finals before his retirement. And if you didn't know what the PBR and what the sport of professional bull riding meant to Chris Shivers, that last ride after he got bucked off at the PBR World Finals, Everybody was crying with him. There's not a dry eye in the house. And at that point in time, everybody in the world understands what bull riding means to him and his family.
Right.
You know, and but enough about the Cowboys. You know, growing up, you've got to see a lot of things, but you're kind of one of those humble individuals that doesn't like to talk about yourself. But we're going to dibble into that a little bit. Is that all right?
Okay. So I guess, you know, some of it would be I was really blessed to have got to work with a lot of great guys, and that all kind of formed Rob Smith, Jimmy Anderson, Skipper Voss, Miles Hare, Whit Peft. You know, I got to work with all of those guys. It took a little bit from each one of them. Obviously, Miles and I have grown up to be, you know, from the first time we fought bulls to almost going Fifth City to becoming like brothers at this point in our lives, and having been blessed to have worked the national finals three times together and with a co-world championship in the freestyle bullfights. You know, we grew to love one another, you know, like brothers are supposed to.
You know, we talk about the world champions in the freestyle bullfighting. You are a multi-time world champ in that, but I believe, is it five times? Is that right?
I did win it five times.
Five times, but it has not come without tragedy and heartache. You're known as one of the toughest, pardon my French, but SOBs in the business. That's how people respond to you. You know,
I'll accept that compliment.
You know, it's fantastic, because there's been numerous times throughout your career and in a span of 2 or 3 years that you really should have had career-ending tragedy and heartache by breaking your back. The first time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was back in 1992. You broke.
Right, I broke my neck in 92, C4, 5, and 6, the one that run your arms and legs, and God let me walk away from that. I think I know where you're going, so I'm going to interrupt a little bit. I think that's some of those things were at points in my life where I was going through some stuff and maybe not walking in the way God wanted. I think maybe that those broken necks came as wake-up calls. And I think the last and final one in 2006, it wasn't that I wasn't walking with him. I think it was a way to put closure to a career.
Absolutely.
I was going to retire at the end of that year, but I don't know that I'd have been able to walk away from it if I'd have been healthy. And I think with the broken neck made me have to say, okay, it's done, it's been good. On that night that I broke my neck in 2006, the third time, we had been doing a video for the PBR outreach program, and Cody Custer had just got done doing his interview before me, and when I did my interview, I sat up there that night and I was talking about, you know what, if it all ended tonight, there's no way I could complain, because God's been awful good to me and let me play a game I love for a long, long time. And 30 minutes later, I went down and broke my neck for the last time.
Absolutely, you did. You know, and what a historic career. But one thing about that 1992 break is you ignored all the doctors and you went on to win another world championship the next year in 94. Now, did you go to the doctors? Did you know it was broke? Or are you just one of those guys that says, oh, heck, I'm still walking, let's play?
Well, no, I actually went home, and J. Pat Evans called me back. They took me back into Dallas to Baylor Medical Center, and they fused C4, 5, and 6. I sat out the rest of 92, came back in 93, and ended up qualifying for the finals and winning third for the world, and then in 94 I came back to win the world one more time. And that's right after that is when I found God. I mean, I knew about God, but I'd been keeping him out at arm's length and keeping him away from me. And thinking that, you know, the gold buckle is supposed to give me the peace and everything that I wanted, when that night was over, I sat up in my motel room and cried like a baby, because the piece that I thought a gold buckle was supposed to give me, there was still a hole in my gut. And after that, I got to get around Cody Custer and Scott Mendez, some guys that were walking with the Lord. I got saved shortly after that and found out what peace really was.
Absolutely. And ever since then, you have been an absolute God sent a disciple to many, changing the lives. And if anybody follows you and understands what your life is, you know, you have scriptures that you post. You do public prayer on Facebook, everything else. And you are an absolute part of the PBR outreach program and the PBR ministry. Talk about that aspect for a little bit. A lot of these people who come to the World Finals and come to the PBR at different cities, but hear about the PBR ministry and the PBR outreach, but really don't know what it's about. Can you explain it to us a little bit?
Well, that PBR outreach, what happened was there were so many of us cowboys were always on the road traveling that the group of Christian guys got together and they started having a church service on Saturday mornings where we could all get together and give glory to the Father. Cody Custer helped get it all off the ground, and Todd Pierce, Wiley Peterson, and Scott Mendez, and I was really blessed. You know, Scott Mendez took me under his arm, and I roommated with Scott for a while, and then the last couple of years of my career, the best roommate I could ask for was Cody Custer, and Cody spoke so much into my life and just was a big blessing and helped guide me. And, you know, not that there's never been mistakes, and we all make mistakes, and we're all sinners, but, as you know, once we go ahead and we repent, and we acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and then accept his grace, that's what it's all about. We've got to be born again. So, you know, we just got to say, and then start our focus and get around the right kind of people. You know, you can't just keep turning around and going back to the things that you know are wrong, because we've got to get in with a different group of people. Otherwise, you're going to be like a dog returns to his vomit, you know, and that's not where the Father wants us.
You know, fantastically said, as always. And a lot of this will come up. It's kind of changing, but it still has almost as much meaning as coming to the Lord. But I was able to be inside of Thomas and Mac the last time that you ever stepped foot in there. Nobody was expecting you. You had already been retired. You come walking out of that tunnel one last time to fight a couple bulls. What did it feel like to see the crowd and to be able to be in a PBR arena one last time?
It made my heart pound a lot. When I got the phone call that I was going to receive the Jim Shoulders Award, Cody Lambert called me, I'm sorry. And Cody and I have been good buddies for a long time. And we talked, and I said, Cody, I said, you know, if I'm going to receive that Jim Shoulders Award, I've got to step around a couple of bulls. And Cody said, why? He goes, you think so, huh? And I said, yeah, you know, Jim. I said, you know, Jim Shoulders is sitting up there. That's exactly what he would expect of me.
Absolutely.
And Cody laughed at me, and he said, well, and I said, I tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I said, if I am not ready, I will not try it. But I promise you I will be ready. And as soon as I hung up the phone, I had Coach David Hess was a strength and conditioning coach for Abilene Christian University. And as soon as I got off the phone with Lambert, I called Coach Hess and said, Coach, we got 6 weeks. Can you get me ready? And he said, ready for what? And I said, ready to fight bulls. And he said, you get your butt down here. And we went to work. I went to the gym every day for 6 weeks to get ready for that thing. And Coach Hess, he's just an outstanding guy. And he put me through my paces, you know, and we got ready.
Well, that's great, you know, and talking a little bit about the entire Jim Shoulders Lifetime Achievement Award, you were the inaugural recipient of that back in 2011. That had to be something special because you've been side-by-side with Jim Shoulders throughout the start of your career.
It was a great honor when I got a phone call and to find out that I was the first person to receive it. Early on in my career, I'd won the deal at the Cow Palace back in 1978, the year after I graduated high school. And I met Jim Shoulders in January of 79. I introduced myself to him, and he had told me, you know, oh, you're from California. Nice to meet you, but you're from California. You can't fight bulls. They don't know what a fighting bull is out there. And I said, well, sir, all I want is a chance, and if you'll give me a chance, that's all I ask. So the next day he came up to me and he said, I'll tell you what, I'll let you come to Baton Rouge in Monroe, Louisiana. But if you don't fight bulls in Baton Rouge, you'll be on a plane so fast you heard the word Monroe. I said, sir, that's all I want is a chance.
That's fantastic.
So I got to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and when I landed at the airport and paid for my cab ride, I had a dollar bill left in my pocket, and I bought a one-way plane ticket.
Oh, wow.
And I got there. I fought bulls the first night, got through it, worked with David Burnham. And after I got by the first couple of bulls, it was like, you know what? A bull's a bull. It doesn't matter if he's in California or Texas or Louisiana. And I ended up working that rodeo, that perfect Baton Rouge, worked the rest of Baton Rouge rodeo. Went to Monroe, worked with Miles Hare for the first time there, and ended up working the rest of Jim Shoulders' rodeos that year. In fact, he took me home, him and Miss Sharon, and treated me like I was one of theirs. I stayed in Marvin Paul's old room, and, you know, to this day, if I make a phone call, I call mom, that's Miss Sharon. I called her up the other day and talked to her, you know, just, you know, I said, hey, and talked to her in quite a while. Rob, what are you doing? You know, and just, they made me feel like I was one of their boys, you know, it was just a great deal. And so to get there and to receive the Jim Shoulders Award, it was a great big full circle in my career, and, you know, it was the icing on the cake.
It sure was. And why don't we talk about your career just for about 30 more seconds before we get into what Rob Smets is doing now that he's retired. You're known to jump bulls. In fact, that's how you sustained one or two of your broken necks. And how did that start? Where did you get the notion to say, hey, man, it would be cool to jump a bull? And then how did you get your name Kamikaze Kid?
Well, I got the name Kamikaze Kid because I had a lot of people say that I had a death wish, you know, that I was taking all kinds of wild chances. And I told people, I said, I don't try to do anything I don't think I can do. I just, you know, there's a lot I feel I can do. And the jumping bulls obviously set me apart from some other guys. I didn't, you know, could have been a lot better off if I had just kept jumping bulls over the barrel, because jumping bulls off the ground, I didn't do so well. And that's what got my neck broke for the last time. But I jumped a lot of bulls over the barrel, and I'd done it throughout my career with Jimmy Anderson and Miles Hare and Bobby Romer and whoever I worked with. If they could set the barrel, I could jump them. And I got to where in those bullfighting contests, that's what I would do. And so I learned to get pretty good at setting the barrel by myself, backing off, making a run at it, and jumping bulls that way. And so probably, I'm going to say, over my career, I jumped more bulls over the barrel than anybody has. There's, you know, there's a lot of guys that can do it, but on the consistent basis, like I did, and for the number of performances a year that I was working, there were several years there that I was working 150 performances. One year, Miles Aaron and I worked 24 performances at Fort Worth, Texas, and between the two of us, we jumped 21 bulls in 24 performances.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. And everybody knows about the legendary career inside the arena, both for the PRC and the PBR, but, you know, there's many people that you're their idols and they want to learn from the best, but you have very unique opportunities at selected times throughout the year to be able to have your own bullfighting school and to be paired up with the legendary bull rider, Gary LaFeu, for a bull riding and bullfighting school. Let people know how they can figure that out and how they can find out where you're going to be and how they can get signed up to learn from one of the best in the business.
Well, they can go on my Facebook page, and the information's there. In fact, I just reposted it about the school in Liberty, Texas, November 6th, 7th, and 8th. And we put on about four or five schools throughout the country during the year. In fact, the last 2 years, even Gary and I have gone over to Australia and done a couple of schools over there in Rockhampton, Queensland. And that's been a lot of fun. I've had one of the boys, Wade Michelle, that just worked his first PBR Australia, the equivalent of the Built Ford Tough Series over there. So we had a lot of really good luck with our students. The next big school is going to be November 6th, 7th, and 8th. And on the last night, we're bringing in 12 of the best bullfighters in the country for a $10,000 added freestyle bullfight that Liberty, Texas is going to get to see. So big times down in Texas in November.
Man, that's fantastic. And what I'll do is I'll put a direct link up to your Facebook page so everybody can go and have a direct link to find out where the next schools are going to be. How does that sound?
I appreciate it. That'd be great.
All right. And now, personally, what is Rob Smuts up to now that he's retired when he's not doing the bullfighting schools? What are you doing with your life right now?
Well, when I'm out now, I'm announcing rodeos. You and I are in competition there, trying to book a few rodeos. And I'm pretty comfortable with the ones I've got down here in South Texas. I go to a couple up in Oregon still, where I've got two daughters. My mom are up there. So it gives me an opportunity to go up there. And I go to Klamath Falls, Oregon in August. And then I also go to the Molalla Buckaroo on the 4th of July and announce with my good friend Kelly Keeney. And I've been working as a construction supervisor for the past year for Murphy Oil Company down here in the Eagle Ford Shale. The oil boom in Texas is rocking and rolling.
Perfect. That's what I like to hear. And just on a side note, there's no way that I can ever compete with the legendary Rob Smuts. So you've got what you need.
Well, if you'd let me borrow that good, big, deep announcer voice, it might help me a little bit. But, you know, the one thing about it is at least most people have known my voice, so that helps.
That's right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know that Rob is short on time, so Mr. Smuts, I really do appreciate you coming on the Radio Roundup Unplugged with us this week.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time and the opportunity to get to share with y'all. Thanks, everybody. God bless y'all. Stay in touch. Check me out on Rob Smuts on Facebook.
All right.
Love y'all. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Hetland here with the legendary Rob Smuts on this week's edition of the Radio Roundup Unplugged. Stay tuned next week for more special guests as we get closer and closer to the PBR World Finals and the National Finals Rodeo presented by Las Vegas Events in Las Vegas, Nevada in December. It's not goodbye, but it's so long for now until our rodeo trolls meet one more time. Goodbye and God bless. We'll see you next week.